Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Yes with your hostess, Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. Each week, Pam will speak about the energy of yes and how you can use it to create an extraordinary, prosperous life that you will absolutely love. Pam has spent a lifetime building and leading transformational programs and is passionate about making abundance available for everyone through yes. Callers are welcome, and we invite you to like Pam's show before leaving the program. So open your heart, open your mind, and be ready to receive what is possible from your friend, the Yes Coach.
Good evening and welcome to the show. This is Pam Heath, the Yes Coach, and I'm here to have my weekly show on the science of yes. The science of yes is the philosophy and the science that I teach people how to be a yes in life, how to be a yes to courage, how to be a yes to romance, how to be a yes to everything. I want to explain a little bit about that song that comes on when the show first opens up. You may or may not recognize it as Robin Williams. He is singing one of the songs from the animated film Aladdin. That's the song that Robin Williams sings as the genie when Aladdin first rubs the lamp and the genie comes out and he introduces himself and tells Aladdin, "You ain't never had a friend like me." Aladdin doesn't understand the whole process of having a genie at his disposal. And he's trying to figure out, what do you mean I can have anything I want? And as the genie, Robin Williams is explaining, dude, you ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant and I'm your maitre d'. All you have to do is order it up and I will deliver it. The reason that song opens up my show is as the Yes Coach, I am asserting to you that life is your restaurant and I'm your maitre d'. All you have to do is let me know what you want and you can have it. I believe in the science of yes, and it's strongly committed to you understanding that you can have anything you want in your life. Anything, your dreams, your visions, whatever that's about, you can have it. So on tonight's show, inside of my philosophy and my science of yes, I've invited a really extraordinary person here. And she's going to talk to you a little bit about the healthy aspect of living a life that you love, a powerful life, an energized life. Her name is Naya Petrinos. And I want to tell you a little bit about Naya, and then I'm going to have her talk to you. She is an incredible, extraordinary, Emmy award-winning set director. And one of the things you want to know about her is that she is a fabulous therapist and understands yoga inside and out. And she's going to have a conversation with you tonight about that and about what you can be in your life if you're fully fit and fully energized using yoga. So right now, without any further ado, I'm going to let her talk to you about what she's up to and what she can provide. Naya, come on in.
Hi, everybody, and I really want to thank Pam for having me here. And I wanted to tell you, I think maybe it's a good place to start, what got me into yoga. And the thing was, in my late 20s, I was doing a little bit of yoga, Hatha yoga with girlfriends, community class, the cheap class. I liked it, but I wasn't, you know, over the top about it the way I am now. I just thought it was fun. But then at 30, I got knee surgery, 3 places on my knee, 2 meniscuses trimmed and a patella release. I was in a lot of pain before the surgery, and after the surgery, I continued to be in pain. I was in so much pain, I was walking with a cane. I was wearing braces. I was taking a lot of anti-inflammatories, and this was after the surgery. And I tried so many modalities. I tried Pilates. I tried acupuncture. I was going to acupuncture 3 times a week. I was going to the chiropractor, sports medicine-related chiropractor. so many things, but I just couldn't get out of pain, and I was very depressed because my job is a set decorator. I drive a lot. It was hard for me to hold down the gas in the car. And then I started doing Bosch Lineage Yoga. I was working on a show, Veronica Mars. It was the only studio, this hot studio, that was open at for an 8 o'clock class in San Diego where I was working. I wasn't that interested in doing hot yoga, but it was the only class available. So I went, and it was really hard. But then when the class was over, I felt a little bit of relief in my knees. And when I woke up the next day, I even felt more relief. And that's when I really got committed to this yoga practice that I've maintained now for 15 years very consistently, because it was the first thing that got me out of pain. And then I was able to drive, and I don't walk with a cane, and I have such a better body at 47 than I did at 30, and I really attribute that to yoga, and that became my journey of understanding in my own body what a healing thing that yoga can be. So should I keep going, Pam, about that story? Did you want to ask me anything about that?
Well, the first thing that came up for me, I can't help it because, you know, when I listen to people talk, I always filter it through how does this apply to me, is I have pain. I have pain in my knees. When I was in my early 20s, I was in a really bad automobile accident, and they put a pin in my right leg. And I'm 60 years old now, and I still have that pin. And they told me that when I got older, it probably would bother me, and it bothers me big time. And I'm wondering if this is something that might help me. I've never done yoga, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is about yoga, just like everything else, is you want to get the right program for you. So I had done other yogas before I found sort of the right prescription for me. So somebody who has knee problems, it's about developing all the areas around the knee, making everything below, like the calves and the feet, very strong, and the things above, like the thighs, also flexibility. So, and also a lot of balance work. So yoga is really great for the knees because it does all those things. It gives you the strength and the flexibility along with the balance. So sometimes people tell me they have knee pain or knee problems, and they say, I'm really stretching it. Why isn't it helping, Naya? And I say, are
Naya?
You strengthening it? Yeah.
You have a caller. Can I?
Oh, okay, great. Sure.
Go ahead. Put the caller on. Welcome to the show. You have we have Naya Petrino speaking about yoga. Did you have a question for Naya?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is she the Yes Coach?
I'm the Yes Coach. I'm Pam Heath.
Oh.
I'm the Yes Coach, and I have a guest tonight. Did you want Naya, or did you want to talk to me?
I think I want to talk to you. I didn't know that there was someone talking about yoga.
Yeah, part of the whole world of living in Yes is part of it is your well-being. And so Naya is here having a conversation about yoga, which a lot of people relate to it like this great exercise to get toned. But there's a lot of meditative aspect to it as well, which is why Naya is here on the show tonight. But you're welcome to ask your question. What's your name?
Oh, yes. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Jeanette.
Jeanette, how can we help you?
So my inspiration for picking up the phone and to listen to the show and then maybe ask you a question was because of what I read in the description, which is, you know, starting a business, and if you feel called to do that, I guess you help people along the way in terms of funding, et cetera. Is that true?
So basically what I do is I coach people who are interested in starting up the business. And a lot of times it's kind of like an idea or germ of an idea,
yeah.
Or they have a desire to do it, but they don't know how to get started. And I actually know how to get you started. I get you to the next level, whatever it is. I give you structures. I tell you exactly what to do. I hold your hand. And I specialize in transformational practitioners, because a lot of times transformational practitioners
they're very, very spiritually connected, but they don't have all the logistical wherewithal to do the doingness and the logistical properties of beginning and maintaining a business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's my forte.
That's great. That's great to know, really. I do consider myself a transformational kind of coach slash intuitive transmitter, you know, receiver and transmitter. So I've helped people, and I have done readings, and I have done lots of things in that realm.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm even more not focused, but it seems like I've shifted with using more of my right brain than I have in the past. And so that, it's like I don't even want to open my computer anymore. It's like my left brain is, it's just shifted. The energy has shifted. And so I feel like I'm needing definitely more support in that arena, you know, like how to market, the structure, et cetera, et cetera. And at the same time, also, I'm wanting to do things that are more fun. I'm wanting to do things that are more experiential, meaning creating an experience for people. So that's really where I want to put my focus. And I need all the support I can get and all the logistical left brain stuff.
Obviously, that's the kind of stuff that a lot of spiritual and transformational practitioners struggle with. And part of why they struggle with it is because they're so, as you pointed out, the left brain and the right brain, that's all very good. But there's a way that you can take it on. And you know how they say it takes a village to raise a child?
Yeah.
I say it takes a community to cause a business.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow? So you have
yeah.
resources. You have people that, you know, the secret to my success is I surround myself with people who know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the places where I'm weak, they shear me up. And the places where I'm strong is where I put my energy. Because that's where overwhelm comes from, by the way.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
One of the things I think that Naya can attest to this with regard to overwhelm, it's like you feel like you're taking on so much and too much. Really,
yeah.
And I'm a strong believer in meditation and taking a moment. And so,
yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say when you talk about the left brain and the right brain, because we're talking about yoga tonight, there are a lot of practices, especially breathing practices, that are all about unifying the hemispheres. Because when we're talking about yoga, and I know you're talking about your creativity and your business, but I think it's also a good launching out off point, is we're trying to unify ourselves, make ourselves not left brain and not right brain, but unified brain, connect the hemispheres so we can walk on the earth really unified, whole, and healed. So, like, if somebody would say to me, like, I feel like I'm totally in my right brain, but I need to access that left brain, there are practices where you breathe in and out of the right nostril so you can start to affect the left hemisphere, or
yes.
alternate nostril breathing and stuff like that to connect the hemispheres of the brain.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very familiar with that. So the truth of the matter is that it's not as if I don't feel like I can access the left side of my brain. I actually spent most of my years using the left side of my brain, and then now and then I would access the right side, and it seems like right now I have a resistance. Like I said, I don't even want to open up my computer. I'm just having a resistance because the right brain has wanted to be more nurtured, and I feel
mm-hmm.
like that has just it has just shifted for me. It's not like I did anything. It's not
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I had this conscious desire to be more right brain. It just like, I don't know, it just shifted for me. And I could still access my left. I do it every day. I use the left
right.
side of my brain every day. It's just that I don't want to be so turned towards the left side of my brain as much as I used to, because
mm-hmm.
My creative side is definitely, and my intuitive side is definitely wanting more attention. So
yeah.
I agree with you, and I believe in the whole brain theory.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that at this point in my life, it's like, okay, I've done the left brain thing. I really want somebody else to take over that, you know, that more focused left brain activities, because my genius and my real self, my core really wants to be creative and intuitive. It always has been.
Yeah.
It always wanted.
Well, yeah, you're like a pendulum. You were all one way, right? And then it sounds like, I mean, hopefully I'm not misrepresenting. And now you want to go the other way. It wasn't nurtured, and now it wants time. So it sounds like you really have a great intuition about what you need. And I really believe that's when we do yoga therapy, we don't tell people what to do. We actually just act as guides and supports, because people really know what they need when they get quiet and deep and listen. And people really direct their own healing. And it sounds like you're very clear about what didn't get nurtured and what's missing, and reaching out for support. So those are all really beautiful, great things.
Thank you. And you know what's really, like, amazing is I didn't realize you were talking about yoga therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But just last night, I happened to go into this center. Well, I'll call it a center, where, you know, like-minded people and healers, et cetera, go. And I just happened to gravitate to walk towards the back room. And the facilitator was getting ready for a workshop that he was doing called yoga therapy. And I just happened to stand there and talk with him. And he explained to me what yoga therapy is, because for me, this is kind of a little new. Well, anyway, we got deep into the conversation, and I told him, I said, you know, and he said, he made a comment, he said, it's not the yoga that everybody's doing and getting hurt by, or there are a lot of people that are getting hurt by. I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. He goes, why? I said, because that's the very reason why I turned away from yoga, because I feel it's too aggressive. It doesn't make me feel, how can I put it, like I'm communing with my body. Like I'm really like, I want to go into yoga because I want to really commune with my body. And if my body needs something other than all this other stuff that I keep like being turned off by, then I'm not going to go in that direction.
Right.
So, and then he showed me some movements, and sure enough, I, oh my gosh, those are the movements that I used to do when I was a teenager, and I'm going to be 59 next month. I was doing those movements as a teenager just because my body wanted to. I didn't know from yoga. I didn't know back then. I grew up in New York. There was no yoga where I lived. So I was just doing this because my body was like wanting to stretch and open up, and I danced a lot, from a teenager on, and so it was just like my way of like listening to what my body needed. And he was showing me those movements, and I'm like, oh, that's more like it. That's what I want to do.
You know, I've known that there were different kinds of yoga. There's the Kundalini yoga. And what I know is very sparse, though. I don't have a full spectrum of everything that yoga provides. But the reason why I asked Naya to be on the show is because in the science of yes, I have this philosophy I call healthy, wealthy, and wise, that you want to be healthy, you want to be fit, and part of getting access to fitness is not just about your body physically necessarily, it's also about your connection spiritually to your body.
I want to speak to that, Pam. I really want to speak to that tonight. I hope we can get to that.
That was called, you know, an opening.
So I want to say a couple things. I want to say physical practice, like going and doing the asanas, those are the things you kind of see on TV, jumping around and stuff like that, is only 1/8 of yoga. Yoga is an 8-limb system, And number one and two are just getting in touch with yourself, your ethics, what you believe about the world, how you live in the world. Those are called yamas and niyamas. You're not even allowed in India or in the ancient system to even start jumping around until you get clear about who you are, what your responsibilities to yourself are and the world are. Then after you get your kind of yourself in order with the yamas and the niyamas, you go to physical practice. Number three, it's called asana. After physical practice is breath work, is pranayama. Same importance as asana. After pranayama is pratyahara. I teach it. It's a withdrawal of the senses. It's a kind of a beginning of gateway meditation technique where you get really quiet. Then after that is dharana. It's when you have concentration techniques like candle gazing or an image. After that is jhana, which is kind of like mindfulness meditation. And then is samadhi, enlightenment, moksha, nirvana. So this jumping around, which is really as a part of yoga, is just one-eighth of yoga. So when you're doing yoga every day, you're supposed to be doing all those eight things, not just jumping around. Like meditation is actually like the last four states of yoga. So when I advertise my classes, I usually say yoga and meditation just because people don't know. But really, if you know about yoga, you don't need to say meditation because so much of yoga is really in the eight-limb system is about meditation. It's
all
part
right.
of yoga.
Well, Jeanette, thank you so much for calling in. I want to take
a
moment to clear the line because we have some other callers that are trying to get through Naya. Thank you so much. Call again.
Thank
and
you.
If you have any specific questions for me, you can always write to me at pamheath@yescoachforyou.com. That's pamheath at yescoach, the number four, the letter U, .com. Thanks again for calling. Good night.
Good night.
And Naya, before I take on any other callers, I wanted to take a minute to, you talked about the jumping around aspect, and as a total and absolute beginner, you know, when I think of yoga, just so that you know, I see people running around with these little purple mats under their arm and they're dressed in, you know, workout clothes. And I have this vision of them sitting in the room in unbelievable positions, just sitting around looking at each other. And I don't have an image of people jumping around.
Can I just say to you that I just use that sort of metaphorically, but there are lots of different kinds of yoga. And the yoga that we see where people are doing what they call vinyasa, and that's when they're jumping back and forth and in these complicated positions, it comes out of a tradition that was a mixture of gymnastics with teenage boys around the 19-teens and 20s in Mysore. It's just one little style of yoga, but it gets a lot of publicity. But there are all kinds of different styles. Restorative, which is very still. There's yin, which is a slow, deep stretch practice. There's hatha, where you hold postures. So there are just so many different kinds of yoga. So that's why in yoga therapy or any kind of yoga, we want to match you up with the yoga that's right for you. And yoga also goes with stages of life. Like some of the practices are really for like teenagers, or some of the ones that a lot of people are doing were designed for teenage boys who are gymnasts. So those aren't the right practices for, let's say, a woman in her 60s. So people need to really get lined up with the right yoga for them, either individually or classes, because there are lots of different classes. But I think the problem is people don't really know how to navigate through the names.
And about the classes and the different yogas and finding the right yoga for you, how do you go about finding the right yoga to you? Should you go around and test all the yogas?
Well, I mean, you can talk to a teacher or a studio owner or me, you know. It's just that, I mean, the way to start, I always start people with yin or restorative or just a hatha basics class. You start there and you build from that. And then posture because you want to kind of get comfortable with the postures. Like my neighbor came over my house the other day. She was like, I really want to do yoga at the gym. I went once, but it was so intimidating, Naya. And, you know, I don't know what to do. And I said, you know, it's like learning a new language. So we just worked on things together a couple times. And now she's able to go to the gym. And I also showed her how to modify because it's perfect to take things a step back. And a good teacher will show you all the variations. And really, the easier variations is the one they should really demonstrate. Because something about human nature, when we see something really hard, we kind of just want to go for it, even if it's not right for us. It's just a lot of, you know, a competitive nature in a lot of people. So we also have to just kind of tell ourselves, okay, I'm a beginner. We call it beginner's mind. Let me just take the easy variation. Let me build up. Yoga is a practice. So I have to practice. I can't just jump in at a level that I'm not at. That's how a lot of people get hurt, you know, because they're so, a lot of times we're overly competitive. We're competitive in our lives. And that competition and fierceness that we have driving around LA or getting ahead in the workplace, we bring that same person to the yoga mat. Like that person doesn't disappear when we come in the door. So that's why it's good to get lined up with the right class and have the right teacher that steer you away from that aggressiveness that might get you hurt.
Yeah, I'm surprised, to be honest with you, to hear that people get hurt. I honestly am very new. I've never done yoga. I've always kind of had a desire to get started. As a matter of fact, I have a yoga mat, and I just every time I've gotten myself up to want to go check out a yoga class, I get intimidated that they are doing things that I can't possibly do. I'm 60, and you know, I'm not necessarily the most flexible of 60-year-olds you might meet. But, I mean, I heard you say that you would start somebody like me with yin.
Yin or gentle or restorative. So you can kind of figure out the ABCs, you know, of this language of yoga. There's slower practices. There's time. The teacher can walk around. That's how I started my husband. I was asking him to go to yoga for like 15, 16 years. He wouldn't do it. And then one day he said, no, I have an announcement to make. I didn't know what he was going to announce, you know. And he said, I'm going to do yoga. I was like, really? I've been trying to get him to go for 15 years, you know. And so I always used to joke, do you want to go to yoga with me? He'd say, no, you know, like that, like with disdain. Yeah. And so he had an announcement to make. Okay. I was like, oh, okay, great. So we started with yin. It's a slower, deeper stretch practice. And then one day after, you get to learn a lot of the postures, but in a slower way. There are a lot of props. We call them in yoga. They're like things you put under you to make the posture more comfortable or to kind of raise the floor up to you. So you use a lot of these things, blocks, blankets, bolsters, straps that help make everything a little bit more easy. And yeah, they can also be used to make things harder, but in yin usually they just support the body and keep you in good alignment. And then one day after doing a bunch of yin, he said, Naya, I'm ready to do something more physical, like more cardio, more aggressive. And so he did. I didn't always come with him because I was a lot of times stressed for my job and I really wanted to do a slower practice at night. So sometimes we go to the studio together and there are different rooms and he'd be in a more aggressive class like power and I'd still be in yin because I knew that that's what I need. I need to slow down because my life is very young. You know, I need a practice that calms me down. He has a more sedentary job. He wanted a practice that heated him up a bit, you know, and now that's changing. He has gout. And he said some toe problems. He's still doing this aggressive practice. And now I'm talking to him. I said, you know what? You need to go back to just a hatha class, a basics class, a yin, because right now that's not working for you. And he's a little bit resistant to it. You know, I haven't really won him over yet. He knows intellectually that he needs to do that, but a little bit, I think, ego or whatever is not letting that happen so far.
Okay, we have another caller, sorry.
Okay.
Let's hear, go ahead and put the caller on. Hi, welcome to the call. This is Pam Heath, the Yes Code. Who am I talking to?
Hello?
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 Hi, who's this?
Hi. Navori.
Who?
Navori.
Navori?
Yes.
Navori, hi, how are you? Are you wanting to ask a question of me or of Naya?
Are you guys doing readings, or this is in general about the yoga?
Yeah, it's in general about the yoga. She doesn't do readings.
Okay. Well, I am actually 45, and I'm just beginning to, I'm kind of athletic. I would say I'm just beginning to exercise. So I was trying to figure out, like, what's the best type of yoga for me?
Okay. Do you have any injuries?
Not necessarily, no, but my knees have always been, I used to dance, so my knees definitely give me an issue every now and then.
Okay. Well, I was telling Pam this before, is I really like to start people in, sometimes the class is called Hatha Basics, or it can be called Hatha Fundamentals, or it could be called Level 1. That's a really good place to start. Or in the practices called yin or restorative. Those are slower practices that are deep stretch. So I think it's always good to just start in a very basic class, figure out what all the postures are, and then after you'll know in yourself when you're ready to move up to level 2 or to a vinyasa class. But I wouldn't start in like vinyasa. I would just start, or sometimes they call it flow. That's another word for it. I wouldn't start there. I would start with Hatha Basics, Fundamentals, or could be called Level 1, Gentle, Restorative, or Yin. Figure out what yoga is about, and then you build your practice from that foundation.
Okay.
Does that help?
That does help. That does help, because I, you know, once I see, like, yoga, I'm like, okay, let me go.
Yeah.
I'm the same
sometimes
way.
Sometimes it's not the best for my hip either, because I did actually hurt my hip one time. So.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely if you could get into a smaller place too, even for just a couple classes, so that you could learn how to modify for your hip, you know, like because if you can get into a smaller studio, it doesn't mean you have to stay there, you know, because sometimes people want to do yoga at the gym. It's cheaper and whatever. But just see if you can go somewhere small just for a couple of classes so they can teach you what some of these modifications that you might need to do for your knees or your hips. Because every pose, I was doing yoga, every pose can be modified from somebody doing it in the bed to the most flexible gymnast doing it. I've been doing yoga with a guy with a stroke in the VA nursing home. We're doing yoga. He's lying in the bed. One of his left arm doesn't move, and we're doing yoga. So I'm doing some of the same things I do with him with very athletic people, but I'm just modifying it a lot.
Right.
Okay. So thank you so much for calling in. We have another caller holding.
I really appreciate you taking my call. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
Absolutely. Have a good
Thank
one.
You.
Thank you very much.
You
Goodbye.
Too. Good night.
Hi, this is Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. You're on with Pam and Naya. Did you have a question? Who's this? You there? Oh, we lost the call. That's okay.
Okay.
Someone else will call in. We've got a lot of people calling in tonight, so.
Oh, good. When nobody's calling, I do want to talk about the five bodies. So whenever we have a pause, I'm going to throw that
just
in.
Just know that if I get a caller, I'll interrupt you and say there's a caller.
Oh,
just
yeah,
go ahead and
fine.
Start.
I have no problem. I just wanted to mention to everybody that's listening, in yoga we say that we have five bodies, just not just one body. So I'll go through them. Maybe we get interrupted. I'll go back to them. But it's a really interesting way to think about ourselves. It's like a Russian dolls that are nesting. The first body is the physical body. So that's the body that eats food and walks around, drives the car, the one that we feel aches and pains in. And that's only one body. The next body is the breath body or the energy body. So that's when we feel tired, if we have shallow breathing, if we have very deep breathing when we're relaxed or sleeping. So in yoga, we consider that its own body. And then the third body is the psycho-emotional body. It's the body that feels sadness sometimes or hurt. It's also the body that's ruminating all the time and thinking about things. Oh, I shouldn't do that. I should do this. Then the fourth body is the witness body. When we get out of all the other bodies and we can see ourselves from like a bird's eye view, we can understand ourselves. Why do we do these things? Why do we self-sabotage or why do we do well? Like, what's happening outside of ourselves? And then the last body is called the bliss body, the body that gives us joy. So yoga, we integrate all those five bodies and give attention in our yoga practice, the eight limb practice, to those five bodies, not just the physical one, but the five ones that I talked about. And people don't always know about that, so I just wanted to make sure I brought that up. Because in yoga therapy, we definitely are working with all five bodies in a session.
That sounds marvelous. Wow. That, you know, you really know your stuff, don't you?
Well, I've studied a lot. I've been doing yoga for 18 years, and I studied at Kripalu, LMU, and then I've done some deep studying in India. And I studied in the spring in a yoga therapy clinic in Calcutta and watched hundreds of people come in every day with their injuries or whatever is wrong with them. And they get their own individual prescription, and they come in every day and do their practice. So that was invaluable to really go to India. I've gone to India twice to study yoga and see how the East feels about yoga. And I really feel like that's really deepened my practice and my knowledge. But there's always more to know. There's always more to know.
Because it sounds like it. It sounds like a lifetime journey.
Yeah, many lifetimes. And you think about with me, I have had a full-time job, and I do yoga, and I teach yoga. But there are people in India, they're born into yoga families. There are many generations of their families have been yoga teachers, and then they study yoga every day, 8-10 hours a day for their lives. And some of those aren't even considered masters. Like one of my teachers in India, studying yoga, Sanskrit, his whole life, and all he had, because in the end you feel like you don't need anything but the practice, he just had one bag. I'll never forget this guy. He had one bag, and in the bag, for all his possessions, in the bag he had two kind of cloths, the skirts that men wear, dhotis, and a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. And that's really all he needed. And it just, and his practice and teaching, and just to see that was to me transformative. People living like that, just to study, just to practice yoga.
Wow. Okay. So what else is there in the realm of yoga that you want to impart to us tonight?
I really want to talk about the power of the practices that people aren't practicing. Like first, the breath work, because I told you that's the fourth limb of yoga. So it's really important. It's just as important as the physical practice. And these breathing practices are just so therapeutic. There are breath work for anxiety. There's breath work for depression. There are breathing practices for asthma. There are breathing practices for high blood pressure, for low blood pressure, for diabetes. Like different breathing practices.
Wow.
That,
well, we have another caller. Would you mind taking a question at this time?
Sure. Love it. I'm excited.
Go ahead and
people are calling.
Go ahead and put the caller on. Hi. How are you?
Hello.
I'm the Yes Coach. Who is this?
Hello?
This is Em. Who's this?
My name is George.
George, did
Hi,
you
George.
Want to talk to Naya about yoga, or did you want to ask the Yes Coach a question? What can we do for you?
I was actually hoping to talk to Naya about yoga.
Go ahead. She's on the line.
Perfect. So I've been doing yoga for a couple of years now. I've really enjoyed it. I've thought about making a career of it. I went and I did my 200-hour certification. it's really helped me both spiritually and physically. But I just have been having a hard time lately when I go into downward dog. And it's just been hurting me.
It's been where is it hurting?
Well, it's actually an issue with my bowel system.
Oh, okay. So it's not hurting like in the shoulders or in the legs or anything, but it's physically hurting in your eliminatory system later?
Yeah. While I'm doing the pose itself. I don't have a problem doing physically, but while I do the pose, it just wrecks my insides, and I mean half the time I can't hold it in, you know.
Right. So I mean, that's probably like, you know, some of these things they say, like in yoga therapy, the physical body is the last body to express what's going on, you know? So we really have to, I mean, maybe I could talk to you later outside of it, but we probably need to do a whole intake where we figure out what you're eating, what your diet is, when you're eating it,
quinoa and... just smoothies. I'm big into juicing.
Right. Okay. So maybe you might need, you know, I can't really diagnose you or anything like that, but I mean, there might be something in your diet. So if I were to take you as if you were coming to me for yoga therapy or if we talk outside, we have to figure out what your Ayurvedic constitution is. And if you're eating the right things for your constitution, because we're all like either vata, pitta, or kapha, or some combination of the two, and we have specific things that we should be eating for our constitution. You might not be eating the right things for your constitution. You might need, so that's one thing. Also time of day and time of day with the practice. You know, but I always say if the practice is not working right now, then you need to back off of that and not be doing that and maybe be doing some more restorative practices until you can figure out why that inversion. Does it mess you up in shoulder stand also and with Vipariti Karani and those other inversions? Are you having problems with them?
No, that's what I can't figure out. It's just the downward dog. And it just comes out of me. It's like a pain in my side, and then the next thing you know, I have to stop.
Yeah.
Because I'm running to the bathroom, and I'm changing my pants. And...
Okay, so I think, like, the first thing I would say is stop doing it, because obviously your body is trying, something is trying to tell you something. I don't know what it is right now without, like, a further... Look at
stuff. Do you think it's the quinoa?
You might need more substance. I mean, you might need some more stuff for your body to hold on to. If you're just doing
maybe some
quinoa
chai
and
seeds. I could put chai seeds in my smoothie.
Yeah, are you not eating any like protein or any binders?
There's protein in kale, right? I mean, I put a lot of kale in my smoothies.
Yeah, but you know what I was saying before is we have to figure out your dosha. Do you know your dosha? And figure out if you're eating the right thing for your body type. Because like in yoga philosophy where Ayurveda is a part of it, just because kale and quinoa are good, they might not be good for you. It might not be the right diet for you. There might be other things that you need.
And I
but
think
I
that's the bottom
right
line
now.
There, my friend George. I think she's telling you it's probably more what you're eating and not the yoga that's giving you the issue. And I thank you so much for calling in. And good night. Thank you.
I'm going to eat mostly red meat from now on, and hopefully I won't shit my pants.
I mean, I didn't want to have you eat meat. I just think maybe you can get on we can talk outside and we can do an Ayurveda quiz for you. And figure out what is going out of balance, like, and what's happening in the emotional life that's like making everything come out, you know?
Yeah.
Because also that's second chakra, a lot of emotions. There might be other things going on in that psycho-emotional body that's releasing in downward dog and things. But we have to do, like, it wouldn't be responsible for me to try to diagnose or anything without doing some further, you know, without really doing a session where we really disclose and go deep into some things. I hope you're not disappointed, but it just, we need a little bit of time
I appreciate your help, and thanks for answering my questions. And I mean, if I were to do a session, is that something where I would make a YouTube video of myself doing yoga and you would watch it and see what's going on? Or?
No, well, we do. I mean, we could do it on, I mean, I would do it in person or on Skype. It's not just doing, we start with meditation. We give you a mudra, probably around balancing the eliminatory system. Then we do some some physical postures. We do some breath work. We do some guided relaxation, and we check back in. Also, we do a body scan where you fill out a map, and we figure out, like, I'll take you through the whole body when you're lying in Shavasana, and afterwards you fill out a map of what's going on and what you felt. So it's a whole kind of, it's not just watching people do postures. It's a really a comprehensive integrative system with meditation and breath work and yoga and also talking about what's going on, and, you know, so all those things are in a yoga therapy session. It's usually around 90 minutes, takes about 90 minutes to really, you know, look at that, and then we go back again to, you know, reassess and see what's going on and also pick the right postures. Like, most of the people I've always worked with are usually constipated, so you're actually the reverse, but there are some, you know, some things, some postures are really good for that, but I would want to, you know, after we talked, I would check all my notes and everything, just like any kind of a health practitioner does, to make sure I give you the right postures after the assessment.
So are there any postures for maybe tightening, like the rectal area?
Yeah, like a Shuni Mudra, horse mudra. It's a pumping of the anus to tighten it. Sometimes you can do that in Viparita Karani. There's some pelvic floor work might need to do. You know, some things like that off the top of my head that would, you know, to strengthen that area.
Okay,
well, thank you, George. Thank you so much for calling in. We're going to clear the line so we can take some more callers.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, and yes.
All right. There were a couple of other people that were holding on the line. I don't know if they waited. Is there anyone else there? I think they hung up.
All right.
Wow. So no worries. It's sometimes they don't want to wait, and so they hang up when someone's on the call. So anyway, that was really awesome. And so it sounds like you really have an understanding, and you can actually serve with people as a great consultant for them if they are dealing with issues with yoga. I didn't know that. Is there any information you want to give people? Because a lot of our callers are not in California. Naya is located in Southern California, but is this something you can do over the phone? George had a good point.
Skype. I've met with a friend of mine in Serbia. I've done Skypes with even family members in Philadelphia because I need to look at you, you know. And when he was talking about, can I send a video, kind of goes back to that idea we're saying that, you know, people think it's just physical postures. And what I'm trying to say is when I work with youth, therapeutically, it's just what I was talking about with yoga as an 8-limb practice. I'm going to work with you therapeutically on 8-limb practice. Like, I need to know what's going on. That goes back to those yamas and niyamas. Like, what's going on in your life? Like, sometimes people have foot pain and knee pain because they have a fear of moving forward, you know? Sometimes people have hip pain because they have problems with their sensuality, their sexuality, you know, it could be signs of any kind of trauma. So in yoga, we believe that a lot of things root in the body because in the physical body, you're really based on emotional things. So if we can figure out what the emotions are, can get you more, reduce the stress with the meditative practices, start to heal the physical body. Main thing is backs. Like my teachers have always told me, backs never have anything to do really with backs. That's why people have so many problems with backs, because they're trying to work with them structurally, like something's wrong with this disc or whatever. And maybe there is, but there are people with all kinds of disc problems who don't have any physical problems. The back of our body is like the attic or the garage. Mm. It's where we like to store a lot of stuff that we won't want to deal with. So we store it there. And then it manifests as pain. So, I mean, as a yoga therapist, I'm not a talk therapist, but we will address some of that stuff just in the meditative practices. You're going to address it yourself, maybe with not saying whatever, you know, you're not going to work with me like a talk therapist, but those things are going to be addressed. And you know what's so good about yoga therapy is a lot of trauma is not stored in the prefrontal cortex of the brain where language is. So we talk to people about their traumas, you know, like talk with talk therapy, but it's not stored there. It's actually like in the back of the brain, the limbic system. And so a lot, sometimes talking is not going to work because it's not going to the right part of the brain where the yoga and the meditation is going to activate these parts of the brain where all these traumas are stored. And that's why a lot of psychotherapists, psychologists, psychiatrists are now really embracing yoga, massage, a lot of different other modalities for dealing with trauma, because there's a real limitation to just using talk therapy.
Well, I have a 12-year-old in the studio today who has a question for you. Can she ask you her question?
Sure.
Oh, she's shy. She wants me to ask for her. She's hiding and blushing. She wants to know, can a 12-year-old do yoga?
Absolutely. 12 is a great age to do yoga because you can do all the really exciting practices, all the vinyasas, the sun salutations, the moon salutations. I mean, it's just, it's a perfect age to do yoga because you also don't have all the injuries most of the time that we do or the mental scarring that we get later in life. So, yeah, I just say yes, 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 please do yoga because this is just the perfect time. And then you'll really have a deep practice if you start. It'd be really fun. I did a training, yoga for kids. I have friends who teach yoga for teenagers. You can probably, if you're in a smaller studio, you can probably go to an adult class and there are youth classes around. And I think you'll just really love it because it's just, it's so much fun and you feel so good.
Awesome. So that sounds great. So I wanted to ask you, did you want to let people know if they were listening to the show or, and wanted to reach out to you specifically to get some coaching and get some support in entering into this realm of yoga and meditation, how can they reach you? Will you let us know?
Yes. I have a website. It's called Art Yoga Fusion. So it's www.artyogafusion.com, Art Yoga Fusion, because I do some creativity work and yoga therapies on that website. Also, I don't know if on the podcast you'll see my name, because my email address is my name. It's a little bit of a tricky name, nayapatrinos@yahoo.com. So that's my email. And the Art Yoga Fusion has like a, you can contact me through that website or nayapatrinos@yahoo.com. I have a lot of meditations up on YouTube for free. And on my website, I also have guided meditations. I specialize in a practice called Yoga Nidra. It's guided relaxation where you lie on your back in Shavasana. You can do it in bed. And I have lots of different practices for that. So please, you know, go to my website, go to YouTube, and do some of these guided relaxations. There's tremendous research around these guided relaxations, this practice of Yoga Nidra, sometimes called IRF, for just helping people with diabetes, heart disease, menstrual problems. I mean, the research is amazing. Just lying down and listening to somebody take you through a guided journey can be better than a ton of pills. So it's just, I'm always just so excited and floored about the healing power of yoga.
Okay. And I couldn't help but notice that you have some YouTube videos up there, don't you?
Yeah, I have a lot of meditations on YouTube. Yeah, these yoga nidras.
Is there a special channel for the YouTube, like they wanted to go, would they search for your name, or is there a channel there specific?
I have a Naya Petrino's YouTube channel.
Gotcha. This
with
has
the guided
very,
meditations on it.
Very enlightening.
And I post a lot of stuff on Facebook, so you can friend me on Facebook. I'm very easy to find because I think I'm the only Naya Petrinos in the world. So it's just NYA.
Are you kidding me?
Petrinos. There's nobody else with my name. I'm Black, Greek, and Jewish. I don't know if that that combination has ever even been made before. And you just look me up and I just come up, you know.
I see. I think that you stirred. This is the first call I've had, show I've had this many phone calls. Some of them drop. Not very patient when you're online with someone else, but I think you've piqued a lot of people's interest, and I can see why, because there's the belief system that we have around yoga, and that it is part of the exercise family, but that it's beyond just exercise. It's actually a very spiritual, very meditative connection that you have with your body and with earth. And I think that you taught us a lot tonight. Is there any last things? We've only got 3 minutes left in the show.
I want to just say that yoga is for all bodies and people of all colors, ethnicities, religions. Like a lot of times, I teach a small class. Sometimes people don't come. They think they're too fat. They think they're too old. They think they're the wrong color to do yoga. And I just want to say that yoga is for everyone. You know, that you don't have to be white. You don't have to be 20. You don't have to be skinny. You can be those things, and that's great. But because that's all the media is really showing you, that yoga is, but yoga is way bigger than that. Think of the Buddha. He's a big, fat, brown person doing yoga. You know, he was. And so it really, these ideas about yoga in the West being for this very select few, it's just not the truth. And, you know, the people who I think need yoga the most are the people whose maybe their bodies aren't working the right way. They have self-esteem issues. They're older. They don't fit into the cookie-cutter world, because those are the people who actually need the nurturing, need to connect to the divine, need to start loving themselves. And really, when you start doing yoga, everything starts to get in order because you start to love yourself. Yoga is about the samadhi, is self-realization. And people just change. I have testimonials, everything. They just say, Naya, I changed. I have people, student who is like, I have a gun in my drawer. Like, text me. I'm going to, you know, and we did practices. I gave him free yoga therapy. He's feeling good now. Other people, like, it really is transformative. And it's designed by the ancients, step 1 through 8, to transform you and bring you to that bliss body, to that joy. It's out there for you. So don't miss out because you don't think you look like the person on the magazine. That's a bunch of hooey. It's for all of us.
That's very passionate, Naya. And, you know, I have to admit, I was part of the audience that thought that I didn't look like somebody who did yoga. When I see some of the poses, I can't imagine my body in that particular. It appears that twister.
Are you still there?
Yeah, did you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you for a second, but I just want to tell you, of course what they put out there is going to be the most complicated, interesting, shocking pose, because that's our culture. That's what we see, because that's going to be the most interesting, but that's not yoga is really about. There's so many poses. Lying on your back is supposed to be the most sacred pose. That's Shavasana, called corpse pose. You lie on your back with your arms by your side. Almost everybody can do that, and actually that's considered the pose with the most benefit. So don't get like shocked and awed by the media trying to show you a lot of crazy stuff, you know, because you can just go in there, you can sit on, you can be in Indian style, you can lie on your back, standing on your 2 feet with your abs tucked in, Tadasana, mountain pose, also one of the most important poses.
That's the
standing
end of
up.
The show. We're about to turn off. So thank you so much, Naya, and good night.
Thank you.
Все для вас стоять вокруг.